Father in heaven, we just thank you and we praise you and for all thy goodness. Your word declares that every good and perfect gift comes out from the Father above, where there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Father, we know that all good things come from you. And we know that the things that we classify as bad, they come from the other side. And Father, we just pray that you'd bind that force that would bring the bad news and discourage us right now. And Father, we just pray the supernatural power of your Spirit to touch us in heavenly places by your mighty hand. Lord, we just pray that you'd bind demonic activity that might come down in this area. We pray that you'd cancel it out, come against it. And Father, we pray that you'd release life, release your joy, your power, your anointing of the Spirit. And Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing upon your beloved here this day. We pray for these that's in this room. We pray that you'd bless them mightily in the name of the Father, name of the Son. In Jesus' name, we pray for a mighty move from heaven. Father, we pray for the Spirit of God to be alive, the Spirit of God to be upon this meeting, this time we're here. We pray that you'd send your angels to guard around us this day. We pray for this property. We pray, lift up this zone. We pray for our nation. We pray for California. We pray for the United States this day. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for Israel this day. We pray for the touch of people in Israel in a mighty way, Father. We know that they're going through difficult times. And Father, we pray for your people that's in the world this day, for all people, most everywhere is going through difficult times. Father, we pray that you encourage them, lift them up, strengthen them, help them, and as only you can. And Father, we pray that you touch it afresh and anew. Give us more. We come to you needingly. We come with needing you this day. Father, we come that you'd supply our needs. Father, we all come needing your Spirit, needing your blessing. And Father, we classify ourselves as needy people, needy children this day. We need your great love. We need your great strength. We need your blessing. This is supplier of every good need. Every perfect need comes from you this day. Father, we pray for the gift of healing upon those that are sick this day, for those that are coming through trials of despair. We pray that you encourage them, they bless them in a mighty way. Father, we lift up, we pray that you, those that send missionaries throughout the world this day, and for those who are living in foreign soil this day and find themselves alone, we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to them, minister, uplift them with the mighty hand. And Father, we pray for the pastors this day that's struggling. Father, we pray that you encourage them, lift them up, bless them in a mighty way, and we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be reading a little bit of scriptures. Ephesians. This is a book that we need to really study it out and see what God's saying and put it in areas where we can understand that we might walk closer to the Lord our God. And I pray that he's given us the tools. He's given us his Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd bless this reading of this word. Bless this time. We thank you. We pray that you'd move mighty by your Spirit in this day. And we pray that you'd bind all problems that would come against us. When our minds, those whose minds cannot be stayed upon you this day, we pray that you'd move upon these in a mighty way, because we know that your people need to keep their minds stayed on you. And Father, we know my mind would wander. Father, we pray that that will not be in our hearts no longer, that we will listen, wait upon you this day, that Father, we realize that we're actually, when we do, we start wandering, we're not really intent of what we're hearing. And that's a slam to you. It's not the slam to the one that's speaking, but it's a slam to you. You are our Savior. You are our soon coming King. And Father, help us this day to grow in your likeness and your goodness. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Ephesians, the first chapter and the second verse. It says, grace be to you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ. God has given us spiritual blessings here today, and I think that he wants to help us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, where it goes down a little farther, that we are children. It goes down the next verse, according as he has chosen us in him, according before the foundation of this world, that we should be holy without blame. Now listen to this. He wants us to be holy and without blame before him in love. Love is really a great blessing for those who will obtain it. When the love of God is in us, it helps us to perform better at a higher level. It helps us to do his will. We can be spirit-filled, but we can run out of love. You know what? I've really had to change a little bit of what I believe, because God's been showing me that if we run out of his grace, we love, we can be spirit-filled and still be just as dead as our brother or sister. So it has to be, it's deeper than that. If we have the love of God in, we need to keep that love up to date. The only thing is that I believe the Spirit of God helps us. But if we can do it within our love, we need to have love, joy, peace. It's like me as a mechanic. If I couldn't finish the job, then I wasn't qualified. So that's what we are. We can be not qualified to finish out the task that God has given us. We need to be qualified when God says, thus says the Spirit of God, and he comes upon you in a mighty way. He says, here am I ask, I answer, and I will, Lord, reply. I reply to our Heavenly Father. And we need to receive this with gladness. But it says, holy without blame. Just think about it. That's a mighty, that's a standard that we can come to. We have to grow into that. But God's made us to be desire him. The Bible says in over in the next chapter that our desire, it's the second chapter, speaks out the one phrase, desire. And here today, we need to desire heavenly things in Christ Jesus. We need to desire to be his children. And if desire is not here, then we need to go and seek God and to where we can get to that place that we have a desire for God. Because before I came today, was showing me that there's so many people that probably the average Christian that say they're a Christian maybe spends 3 hours a week in his presence. And many of them, he showed me, are sleeping and don't have their mind on what the, what's going on. And then also there's many places that really not even in the Word. I mean, they're very, so with that, you know, there's people that are just sliding through this life thinking they've got all kinds of power. They think they're right with God, but basically they're not spending very much time in his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy in the right hand, pleasures evermore. And as we involve ourselves in his presence, God comes down and makes himself real to a heart. Where his Spirit is, there is liberty. And we shortchange ourselves. We're cheating ourselves of what we're doing. You might say, well, I'm fooling the pastor. I'm fooling everybody else. I'm fooling my wife. I'm fooling my, you know, because they don't know that I'm sitting here just all concerned. But now, that's just for 3 hours. That's taking, you go three services. But a lot of people don't only go maybe one service. Some people may not even go any service. And they're still Christian. And they never read the Bible. They never pray. So, you know, really, in the technical fields now, they wouldn't be, none of them be qualified. And computers, they would not be qualified. We got a man here that's qualified in these areas, but it takes technology to learn. That's the same way we are spiritually. We need to develop our hearts. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. We grow in God, and that growing comes as we take desire his precious goodness. We desire a closer walk. We desire to be a yielded vessel to our God. And that desire has to be born within it, that it starts growing. We grow in the love of God. We grow to fulfill what he desires of us, that we might walk in his presence for his fullness of joy. And right hand, in his right hand, pleasures evermore. We need the love of God. We need that spontaneous, glorious power from heaven in us. Greater is he that's within you. He is in the world. And these only come as we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of God. As we submit ourselves to Christ, then he moves through God, through the Spirit of God, and we get alive in the Lord. I really believe that this is an area that many people are not really where they should be. And I hope that they'll start coming in there, because it means our eternal destiny. This next verse will tell us a little bit. It says, to the praise and glory of grace wherein I have made us acceptable to the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It says one place here that we take on as the adoption as God's children. The adoption, maybe none of you here know about the adoption, but I'm really acquainted with adoption.
My wife and I adopted two children, a boy and a daughter. They were actually 10 years apart. But when we got the daughter and we went through adoption agency and through this state agency, they wanted us to tell our son that he was adopted. Up to that point, he thought he was our son. And it broke our heart because we never really wanted him to think he was no more. But you know, when my wife told my son, his name was Wayne, she says, Wayne, we got something to tell you, and I wasn't there. And you know what he says? He says, please don't tell my dad. I knew what it, but it was so cute the way he said it. Please don't tell him, because he didn't want me to feel that he wasn't my son. So there's something about having a father, something about having a child that's special. But God made it where we could have Jesus. We could have our sins put in the sea of forgetfulness, never remember no more. To have that love, that compassion of God's Spirit upon us, that we feel that no longer alienated, but feel it, we're in His family. I work for a people that's so good to me, and just last week, this is going out on the internet, but I want it to be said, but these people are so good to me. A week ago, last Friday night, the lady's name was Marie, and she says, would you like to come to supper? And I said, sure, I'd like to. But I like her and Steve real well, you know. And so I went to supper. When I got there, she said, oh, she said, by the way, my mother's going to be here. My sister's going to be here. My brother-in-law's going to be here. And there's some more there. But, you know, they treated me like family. You get the message? When we come to God, He wants us to be like family. It's not strange. It's not way off there. He wants to be our Savior right now, that we'll have Him so close to Him right now that when we walk into heaven, we'll say, I'm just almost. God's with us the same now as He is there, but we just see Him. He never leaves His eyes off of us. He's there with His tender blessings. He's there to reach and do mighty works for us. And that's something I have probably that most people have never had the pleasure of going through. But many years, I've seen God come down and do many mighty things. And He's told me in this last days to tell these all people that I have received it. And He wishes to do that for many other people. But it's so wonderful when you see Him do supernatural blessings because you're His child. But the greatest sense of all this is being His child. When it's all said and done, because you get the child's privilege, it means He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. He don't want you to be sad. He don't want you to be discouraged. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go away, I will come and again receive you unto myself, that where there I am, ye shall be also. Jesus is not going to let us go. He's there to uplift us. He's there to encourage you. He's there with His mighty hand to love us, to foreordain us that we're His children. And we don't have to go around and beg on the elements no longer. We can privilege to go to a higher realm, walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The first that's who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It ties together. We come in the adoption of Jesus and accept Him as the glory of God is here in a mighty way. He's here to enable us that we can come and don't have to be ashamed. And then in Revelation, it talks about, and it talks in there quite a few places, about in the last days, there will be those that come to that time, and they'll walk in shame. But we don't have to. That's for those who have not made themselves ready for God's children. Bible says, blessed is those that will be ready at the time when He comes. That's our problem. There's a waiting proposition. And sometimes we feel that, oh, I'm so close to the Lord. I'm just having such a glorious day. Next day, oh, where did the Lord go? I'm so far away. I wish I could just go out here and sit under the juniper tree because I'm so discouraged. This happens to people. They're in and out, up and down. And not so many people are in and out, up and down Christians. They don't know whether their head's up or their toes are down. They don't know nothing because they're walking in themselves. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. God promises, we got to get this down inside of here. He promises He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His eye is over the righteous and His ears are open to their cries. They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. God said, just hang in there, my people. Hang in. Stay there. I don't like that word hang, but stay in there and I'll be with you. Remember, I listened to your cry. Our words are important to God. Our words are language we speak to Him. He don't care how we talk. He understands. We're a little slow. He meets us right where we are. If we have a speech impediment, he doesn't even care about that. If we're a little bit upset, he don't even mind that, because we're coming to the place to he will get us right. Whatever our problem is, we can bring it, casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. So in this time that Jesus made this possible by going to the cross, because he lived a sinless life, that we had come in and obtained power. Now unto him is able, this is Ephesians also, now unto him is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. God's children have got power. He didn't leave us here as orphans to be powerless, but we're powerful in him. Most people think we're powerless, but God's here to enable us that we're powerful in him. There's many places it talks about his effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So all of these are areas that we can grow into the place that we become mature in our God and our Heavenly Father through Jesus, the fulfillment of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means where God's Spirit is, if God, if the Spirit of God is the Godhead. It doesn't mean just the Holy Spirit, but it's Christ, Jesus Christ. They work together. They're not like many of us people. We can't seem to work with people, but God, they work wonderfully together. And they be for us, who can be against us? So with the three of them, we're more than conquerors through him than which loves us. They're greater than whatever thing we face. If you have a heart trouble, you got whatever you're saying. So when I went to Haiti, I told this lady the other day, I said, didn't know why I went to Haiti. And I went down there, and when they got there, this fellow was in charge of this meeting. He didn't like me when I got there, and I crossed his path two or three times. I don't know why he didn't, but there's an end of this story. But I stayed there through that week, and why'd I ever go to Haiti? The last night, next to the last night I was there, we went to this meeting, and they pushed me off the back of this room. It was so black, and the people were dark-skinned, which that part was all right, but I couldn't even see back there. It was so dark and so just, and all the people we went with, they were sitting up there with this front table, and they was just patting each other on the back, and I was getting a little bit discouraged. I'm just confessing this, but I was. I said, Lord, why did I have to come to ride in the back of the car and doing all these things that I've been doing? I said, I just feel like I'm trash. He says, night's not over. That's what the Spirit of God says. The night's not over. You just hang in, and you just stay in there a little longer. So I said, Lord, if you'll help me. Because I said, I am discouraged. He said, I know it. He said, I tell you that I never put no upon you that you're able to bear. God says there is no temptation taken to you, but such is common to man. For God is faithful, and not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. So recognize it this day. Everything that we face, God is with us. He will not put nothing upon you that you're not able to. To bear what you're facing. He remembers in Psalms 103 that he remembers you are made of dust. He remembers, he pities us as dear children. He pities us because those who will rise up and let him be your father, he's going to automatically just, that one he pities, he's going to take you and he's going to love you. He's going to cherish you. And you'll feel good. You know, every place I go in life, I feel good. Because it's not that I feel good in body, but my spirit feels good. When my spirit feels good, I don't really care what my body feels like because I still feel good. I might be aching. When I get hurt, I still feel good. It's the Spirit of God. He wants us. He's sympathetic. We go through these situations, but we go with gladness of heart. We go with he sympathized. You know, when someone is with you, when they sympathize, it helps you. You got someone on your side. Well, God sympathizes with us continually. He's there to make his love real to you, to make you have prosperous day. He wants us physically to prosper. Why many people can't prosper is because they don't put him first. He says, seek ye first his kingdom, and he will add all these things unto you. And 2 John, I believe it is, 2nd or 3rd John, he wants us to prosper even as our spirit prospers. So as we start growing the Lord, he wants to take care of us. He wants to be, basically saying, he wants to be our father. He wants to be our big daddy. He wants to be our comforter. He wants to be that Kindness. You know, we can't get kindness any place upon this earth. You know, when you go to the things of this world, they're not going to sympathize with you. They're just going to put you down. That's just in man. But anyway, that night, I felt so discouraged. But God's never let me down. And this man got up, the last of the service. Oh, he called up. He says, oh, we got a fellow out here. And he was so far, they couldn't even see me because I was way back. Would you stand, get up, and tell us your name and what you did this year? And all I thought, I said, well, I've been into, which I had, a lot of air miles that year. I've been to Canada, Peoria, Illinois, went to cat school there in one class. And I've been to Texas. I've been Arizona, different places. I said, I went to Kelowna, Canada. When I said Kelowna, Canada, the Spirit of God, see, I didn't have to do the Spirit of God. His name was Henry Walgore. And he just literally hated me. But God can change that indifference round right now. He confessed this later. But I'm saying, this is what happened. He says, Henry, you know, I see your heart. Your heart's going to fail you. You need my healing touch. He says, you don't realize that I've had this man come all the way from where he came from. He went to your town this year for you. And when you come up, he's going to pray for you. You're going to be healed. Well, this man got up and he says, and he had to do as I did here tonight. He had to repent. He says, you know what? I'm so sorry. He says, I just couldn't stand this guy. He said he had so much love in him. That love just, he said, I'm going to pray that he would pray for me tonight. And God's going to fill me back with my love that I once had, my joy that I've lost. He said, I need help myself. He said, I'm going to pray that he comes up and pray for all of you in this room tonight. Must take 2 hours. Or better, but I pray for all those people. Henry got a new heart, but his life was totally changed. Then I couldn't get rid of him. I mean, he was there just, this is God. That's the way God works. He works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He's given the signals. We don't give the signals because I don't know how to give the signal. But he knew if I would stay true to my God, then he would bring, same as Joseph, all the characters in the Bible. He will give you that same as a character in the Bible because you're going to be an epistle, this last days that's read of all men. You're going to go for and carry his will. You're going to carry his deity. You're going to bring those and exchange your old life for a new life. You're going to be the witness of the Spirit of God. And I went to the Port-au-Prince Airport the next morning. They put me there with all the luggage. But God just blesses people. Oh, come on, glory. God is so wonderful. All these Haitian guards come up to me. They was big men. They weren't little men. They says, you know, we're going to put you in this whole front of this whole line. And we don't care what they say. You're coming forward. I said, I guess you're saying so. And people started swearing and cursing. He said, he's up in front. And God says, I did that for you. These people swore and cursed. And these Haitians says, we like you. But it was God that was doing these things. God will help you supernaturally heal. I went to airports. And I'd see someone across the airport and I'd start praying for those people. This happened more than one time. Those people come to me and says, I know you're praying for me, but you pray that we'll have a safe journey. And I said, yes, I will. Now, you can have the news to pray. If you come to a place, they don't even have to tell you. God does these things supernaturally. And I've never been wrong. Oh, God, Lord, I love you so much. Shout him with glory. Out there today, if you need power, it's through God. If you submit yourself to God, he will lift you up. As you put yourself down, God will exalt you. And that's our problem. We want to exalt ourselves, and we lose God's power automatically. Where you get power is submitting. Everybody else, that whole trip, I had to submit to everybody. I rode in the back. I rode with the dirty clothes. All the people up front were just having my hand. But after that day, it was a different story. God can turn you around. But he has you sometimes go through some things that you don't think you like it. I didn't like it, but God brought me through it. But there's another part of this twist of the same story. I seen this man up a stairways. The Spirit of God says, you need to go up and pray for him. He's got troubles. But I remember seeing that man where we ate and lunch in Port-au-Prince. Actually, breakfast. We didn't eat much breakfast. We just toast over there because fearful of getting water was really bad, so we had to really watch ourselves. And so I went up and told him, and he says, "My name's Noah." He says, "You know, I've been watching you," and he says, "I was praying that you'd," he said, "I seen something to you. It wasn't me, but he seen something to me." When I got home, I give him my phone number. Like, I was only home about 20 minutes. Phone rang and there was no. But I'm just telling you this, that God could do things that you could never do yourself. Noah says, "I see that you've got something, and I've never," but God is the answer. God can give you a supernatural visitation that men see something that's not you, the flawless of God. If we that wait upon the Lord, children, we need to realize that we're written epistles read by all men, that when we walk the talk with God, God visits our heart, but he also visits those who we see. Supernaturally, they're touched. Supernaturally, your presence, there's changes in the elements because you have a power against darkness. You can control the activity round about you. I've been in grocery stores in this town and just praying. And sometimes I just tell someone to get in my spot. And this happened time and time again. Some clerk would come and pick me up by the hand and say, "Please come and get in my line." That's God showing himself strong on behalf whose heart is made perfect towards you. The Lord says, he told me, he said, "I did that." And I knew he did. But it's God's love. He will show you his love. You don't worry no longer. You know it's your heavenly Father. You don't see, but he's right there with you. He's with me right now. I could not say this, but he's here to bless you. He's here to uplift you. He's here to encourage you. He's here to never forsake you, but he's here to always, his presence is real. His presence is always available. He will never lie to you. He will never cheat you. But remember one thing, the enemy comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. The enemy comes to hassle you even after leaving this place or wherever you are. He will hassle you tomorrow. But remember, God is with you when that hassling takes place. If it does take place, bug off, old man. I'm God's child and he will take care of me. You must believe that he is going to provide for you. There is no lack. And God's children that are supplied that leads to the Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is real. He's faithful. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And a couple years later, I got to go back to Noah Fry's, to his church in Lexington, North Carolina. I had to give it all to God, what he said, because I only wanted to repeat it. But God's here to help you. God wants our lights to shine. But our trouble, when our lights shine, we want to take that glory ourselves. God gets all the glory. I'm nobody. I don't want no glory. Cause as long as I'm safe that way. But if I start saying, "Oh, look how wonderful I've renounced me even saying that." But I'm nothing. God's everything. And when God wants me to repent, like today, I repent. That we have to choose to go God's way. God's not hard on us. We make it hard on ourselves. We make it hard. We get in unbelief. We get in no moving the spirit no longer. So we fulfill the lust of the flesh. We fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we walk and we claim to be spirit-filled, and through that we are lights. Lives have gotten so, I don't want to say what I was going to say, but we get so out of the picture. We're not really committed, and God sees that we're not committed no longer, so he can't do anything with us. We're his child. If he wants to lift us up, he wants to parade us down the avenues of life. That's my child. He wants to brag about you, and he does do it every once in a while. But you got to give it back to him when he brags on you. It's only your heavenly Father. Many can't handle this. You got to be able to say, "Lord, if my God had helped me." God wishes that because we're a testimony. We're a testimony of God. He wants to move us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to help us to be complete. It's hard, really hard to fulfill the wonderful preciousness of God without the activity of the Spirit within you. And the Spirit in you lets you know what's going to take place even before it happened. He is a reason for the hour. You don't go around tooting your own horn. You don't tell people. They don't know nothing. You just sit very mildly. God expects you to do that. But in it all, you have that partnership that God is totally with you. And you never have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power. When I went into this hospital right here in town, I've known that God was going to heal. There's no question about it. I know that when you come up here for prayer, God's going to heal you. He's going to set you free. God has some outlines because we have to put on his nature. His nature is kindness, loving kindness. Oh, love, 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 love. Joy unspeakable. The thing that we take on His nature. This old body is no, don't work in our own nature. It refuses to do the things. God will not use this body. But when we put on His likeness, God automatically uses us. And that's what He wishes for to us. God's not against anybody, but He wants us to grow to that place that we can mature in Him. That maturing is available as we seek Him, as we call upon Him, that we might work out our salvation with fear and trembleness. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13 because I really believe it's very vital to go along with what we're saying here today. This wonderful passage, I just love it so much. But I've seen God do so many wonderful things. I remember one morning I went to a place here in this county. The man came up to me and says, I'd like you to go riding with me. I had time with the company I worked for, so I said, sure, I'm at your disposal. So I went with him. And he started telling me that he knew two men in his life that God was really using them for him. I'm only saying this because I am nothing. This other man was his bookkeeper. He said he's spirit-filled, and this is a Catholic man. Very top man in this county. He's went on to heaven in a plane accident, but I really love this man, really. And he says, you know, I said, he told me about his bookkeeper, and as we drive along, he says, you know who the other one is? And I said, sure, I'd like to meet him. He says, I have to say it's me, but it wasn't me, it was God. I want all of you out there, I'm just to release to you, it's not me. God wants us all to go to that place because I don't like to even talk about that. We have to at times give people that what God's able to do. He's not a respecter of person. God's not going to do more for me than He will you. Out there in this, He'll do to you. Open the windows of heaven. I prayed for 8 years. You can pray less than that and God will meet your need. You don't need that long time that I had to go through. God's here to... You just pray a day and He'll probably come down and do a supernatural work with you. If you'll call, you mean business of God, God will help you. He'll strengthen you. But this scripture of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is really mighty. Though I speak the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it says charity, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Think about that. There's nothing in us. Unless we have love, our whole testimony, we haven't got anything. We're like shallow. We're like a building that's empty. There's no acoustic in it no longer. It's like a haunted house. It's dead. It's not, it don't have the liveliness. God wants to be alive within us. He wants His blessing. And though I have all gifts of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity or have not love, it profit me nothing. That is really heavy, but that's what we need the Spirit of God, and that's what God's been aiming with me. God's doing it, I have to rephrase that. That's what God wishes for us, because He can take a nobody and do great works. If He takes a somebody and He can't do nothing, it's true. He will not work to someone, it's their own identification. God wants to be the identification. This body, He paid in full. That our lives might be wholesome. He paid that I might be saved, that I might give Him. So my responsibility is just give Him what I have. I don't have much, but I give Him this body. And the same to you. We got the keys. We can say, Lord, take it over. Or we can say, well, I don't know about that. But that's where I'm just saying, if you want it, you save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life, what you do, lose your life for Christ, you're going to live. And you're going to have the most fun. You're going to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. And God will just bless you. And it'll be such a challenge to you that you never had fun like you really had when you live with God. When he becomes seeing two dogs this winter. God healed both of them. How they was dead, basically, both dogs. God healed them. They're both today. They're in better shape now than they were then. Oh, Holly got up to her tricks last night. Went over the fence. She's getting old and older and older and older. But God renews her strength. He renews a dog's strength. He renews it because of me. But we got the key. That's what goes parallels. If we live where we should be, we're going to see more people being touched by our lives, your lives, that God can reach humanity for the glory. But we can't compromise. We got to say, Lord, this is what we have to go in His surroundings. And you know, just like, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned. What about that? Boy, if someone like, we'd see that, someone that give their all their charity, we'd just think they was there had to be the most colossal person in the world. You think about it, giving their body to be burned, but God says it's no avail without love. So it's pretty sobering when you read this, what God demands of us, basically. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, rejoice not in iniquity, rejoice in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be prophecies, shall vanish away. For we know in part, but we prophesy in part. But when that is perfect is come, and which is part shall be done away. When as a child, I speak as a child, I understood a child. But this is our, when I become a man, I put away childish things. And that should be our attitude in life, that I would grow to be a vessel of honor. You know, Enoch was sort of my model, because Enoch walked with God. And I have to say, I've walked a couple steps with him. And he is glorious, wonderful. His love is nothing. What I feel inside of me is so glorious. See, he built this old body, so he knows how to fix it. He knows how to make me happy. And boy, when I do his work, I get so happy. Oh, I've never had this much fun working on equipment, even running them. But boy, I get happy. Like today, I'm so happy. I'm going to go home and see one of these days. It's going to be a wonderful journey. But that journey is now to the time that he takes us. And I'm looking for greater things happen, even greater than I've ever seen. I think that I'm going to see, I'll actually be translated before I leave. And translators in the Bible. And I think, I'm not so sure that he didn't translate me 2 summers ago. Because I don't remember how I got point B to point C. But I got there. And I wasn't even, I went through all the stoplights, all the red lights and everything else. Okay. But God is, I think he wants to do some supernatural things in these last hours. He wants to do some things that skeptics say not possible. But skeptics can't make it with God. Skeptics get discouraged. Skeptics sometimes take the way of suicide. Skeptics have a hard life. I feel for them. Skeptics have troubles. You'll have troubles, but God will be with you. God bless you, wonderful people. I pray that God will pour out a blessing upon you this night, touch you, strengthen you, put your hands in his hands, and he will never leave you. He will never leave a child that puts his hand, and I just want to be a child to my Heavenly Father. I don't wish to be a man, as is saying, I am nothing within myself. I wish to be only walk in his presence, walk in his footsteps. I don't want to grow up. I want to be his child. I don't want to be anything. I want to surrender totally to my Heavenly Father. I want to be a peacemaker. I want the love of God, but I want it his, not mine. I pray that I'll forsake all unrighteousness, all troublesome things, that I might prosper in his spirit. I pray for a mighty blessing this day for your people. I pray for them in a mighty way. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will touch your people this day. Touch them in a mighty way. Correct them. Bring joy and speak full of glory. Father, we just pray mightily for your spirit today. Touch your people afresh and new. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.